Hello and welcome to the latest People Behind the Wheel podcast episode brought to you by the Intelligent Transport podcast. My name is Halima Haq. I'm the editorial assistant of Intelligent Transport and your host for today. Joining me for this episode is Rachel Gelli-Amassi, Customer Service Director at the Great Western Railway. Today we'll embark on an insightful journey through Rachel's fascinating career, delving into the challenges and experiences she's encountered in the ever-evolving world of transportation. It's brilliant to have you with us today, Rachel. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Brilliant. Before we get started, Rachel, I think it'd be beneficial for our listeners if you could provide us with an overview of your role at the Great Western Railway.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I've got an incredible role. I've literally just landed in the organisation, started in February, officially started the role in March as Customer Service Director for Great Western Railway, which is a rail company that operates services across a big chunk of the UK, particularly around the west and southwest of the country. It's a wonderful job. My responsibilities are to create a great experience for our customers when they interact either with our stations or on board our trains. So I'm responsible for around 3,000 people that either have varied roles in stations or a variety of different roles on the train, other than the train drivers, but everybody else that you might meet. And it's all about how do we give a great feeling and a great experience? And with equal measure, how do I create that same great experience for people working within the organisation? So I'll be looking at opportunities to make the work environment as positive as it can be, so people really love working at GWR. Just as much, I'll be striving for people to really want to choose GWR as a travel provider.
It's so heartwarming to hear how passionate and excited you are about your new role at the Great Western Railway. As we begin to explore your journey within the transport industry, Rachel, I'm intrigued to learn, what inspired you to seek a career in this sector?
So, a couple of elements for me. I did grow up in a family that were in transport, and that was not rail, but bus. So absolutely, I did get a sense of what it was like to be in a transport world from the experiences of my mum and my dad. But putting that aside, that probably did have an influence on me. But even when I was at university and the jobs that I started doing, I actually started working actually when I was 14. So fairly early, I always had a job. And I'd always gravitated towards roles that dealt with people, customers, those kind of service roles, because I really get very motivated by being around people. It energises me. And I just get inspired when it's something that involves creating a really good experience for people. So entering transport, that's what the role seemed to be to me at that time. Even in the bus world, it was less about buses moving around networks. It was actually around people and experiences and how we made people feel, connecting them to where they wanted to go. So anything that involves people really is what I'm about.
It's great to hear how your early experiences in the transport industry, particularly through your family's involvement in the bus sector, have helped shape your career trajectory. But it's evident that your passion for connecting with people and creating these positive experiences has really been the driving force throughout your career. Now, as we dig deeper into your role and experiences, could you share some of the challenges you've encountered in the industry to date and elaborate on the strategies you've employed to overcome them?
So really, I mean, challenges, it's too early to say my customer service director role at GWR, because as I say, I've just landed, started the role officially in March, and actually I'm on a discovery mission at the moment to really understand what our customer service proposition is like at the moment and how our people feel and enjoy their roles. And so I'm trying to learn about challenges in rail just so I can understand how I can be most useful and most valuable to our customers and to our organisation. So probably to sort of echo back to the sector I've just moved from in bus, I was promoted from operations director role to a managing director role. I was managing director of a big bus company in the west of England. And that was a huge challenge for me in terms of lifting myself into a managing director role. But it had some extra complexities to it as well, that I took on the role at a point where the business was merged with another operating company. So my challenge was to be an MD of a newly larger business and bring two fairly big teams together to have one company identity and move forward in a positive way. In the back backdrop of a pandemic. So there's another element in there, and bringing two teams together for the first time to work as one. So that was enormously challenging for me. I think promoting, moving up the ladder is one thing, and you know, that's going to be a challenge, and you want to really bed into that role. But having a merger, having a pandemic, all those factors are quite big forces to reckon with as well. And actually, 6 months into the role, I lost my dad unexpectedly. And so there was a lot of sort of personal aspects whirling around for me as well that I wouldn't have foreseen. So to overcome that, goodness me, I think learning to, just as you want to support and be strong for your team, actually your team are there to really be there for you as well. So form some great connections with my team members, who really were a great support to me, just as much as I wanted to be a great support to them. I really had to get control of my inner voice. You've got so many voices in your head that are doubting yourself and telling you what you can't do or what you have done wrong or what you wish you'd done better. And actually, I really had to go on a mission to really get control of that inner voice, because it's incredibly self-destructive, and you've really got to recognize your own value and your own worth and get a grip of the bully in your head. So I really had to go on that mission. I was fortunate that I had some great mentor support, and actually drawing from people and networks outside of transport was also really helpful for me, because I was able to soundboard ideas with people, explore thoughts and different ways of approaching things. And it was actually really good to do that with mentors and networks and allies actually outside of transport. So that also helped. And my husband, who also has a transport career as well, he was incredible in supporting me while I really got my confidence, really got to learn about what my own leadership style was, and started to really make my own magic start to happen. So I got there, but I've really felt that challenge. But I also felt the good side of it when I felt like I'd mastered it.
Thank you for sharing such a candid and insightful account of your journey, Rachel. Being able to successfully manage such a big bus company amidst the pandemic, merger, and your own personal loss really just highlights your resilience and determination. And it's great to see that you did have a strong support system behind the scenes. Moving on, as the ancient Greek philosopher Plato once said in one of his works, things are not always what they seem. So, Rachel, has a career in transport changed your perception of the industry as a whole?
I think it really was a real mission of discovery for me, working my way through transport. I mean, it had all of the great people, elements and qualities that I really wanted, because as I'd said to you, I'm so motivated by something that involves doing things for people, working with people. Those large people organisations are in my happy place. So it met that goal of being around great people. I think I underestimated some of the blockers in transport to do what we want to do. And it's probably been quite similar in bus to what I'm discovering in rail in terms of blockers around infrastructure, to be able to deliver a service to our customer from A to B, whether you're on a bus or whether you're on a train. Actually, if you haven't got really great infrastructure in place, you can feel a lot of consequences of that, and then you're not giving your best service to the customer. I think I underestimated how great some of those blockers would be, and it's certainly something that we're trying to overcome in transport at the moment. I think I probably underestimated the scale of how many partners and how much emphasis there would be on needing to be collaborative with so many other partners in the sector to be able to be successful, because there are so many stakeholders and they're complex relationships that we need everybody to be able to deliver to actually be successful for the customer. I was probably surprised at how inside out thinking we were. I think in bus and in rail, we've built this house, this structure that has been very operational. And actually, what it hasn't been built on is necessarily starting first with the customer in terms of what are the customer's attitudes and values and behaviours, and then how do we then build something back in that gives that customer everything that they want. Instead, we've got quite complex structures that at the moment we're trying to coordinate customers to fit with our infrastructure and our processes and procedures, and it's not necessarily starting with what the customer really needs or values the most. So I think that resonates for me in bus and in rail, and is a huge challenge for us to try and unblock within the transport sector.
You've mentioned some really interesting points. And I think the point about becoming more customer centric is something that a lot of operators are really working towards now. Now, I recognize that narrowing it down to just three highlights might be quite challenging, but I'm interested to hear about the top three defining moments of your career in the transport industry thus far.
I would say the start of the journey for me, so joining a graduate program where the first thing I did was learn to drive a bus, learn to clean buses, work in the engineering department, doing the fundamental roles in the business that are really the closest to the customer. That gave me that first spur of confidence to know that, you know what, by doing those kind of roles and having that insight in all the jobs in the company, that will pave the right way for me as I move forward in my career. So that taught me an important lesson that I've always tried to replicate. I would say becoming a managing director of a bus company in the west of England, that is huge. We're only a couple of female MDs in the company in the UK at the time that I was there. And so we still hadn't quite got that diversity, that balance within the team. So I felt very proud that I was able to make that step and show that you can do that and hopefully do a good job of it. And I was very well sort of motivated and rewarded because the engagement scores of our people across that time really lifted again and again. And that really motivated me, giving me the confidence that, okay, the way that I do approach things, that does seem to be working if we measure that in the engagement of our people. So really good for my confidence. And then really a biggie is starting this role in Great Western Railway. But you get very comfortable in your environment. I'd been in a bus world for 17 years and it can become quite comfortable to be around people that you know, be familiar with how to operate in that particular sector. And so it takes a little bit of courage to disrupt yourself and actually change and do something new, particularly when you haven't got allies in that new organization. People don't know how you work. You're not going to be the specialist in the room because it's not been your specialism over the years previous. So that took a little bit of courage, but I'm really, really proud of myself that I've done that because I really love being in a room full of people in a rail context and actually have that fresh pair of eyes that hasn't known rail for many years beforehand. And actually, I'm really going to lean into that because I think having the fresh view is exactly what we need within our team at the moment. And hopefully that will add value to GWR. So very proud that I've done that.
Those are some fantastic achievements over the years. Reflecting on the future, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
I really, really hope that in 5 years, I'll be able to see that I've added value to the customers that use our GWR services across the network. I really hope that we see the response to our customer service, how we make our customers feel, that that is more positive and that I've been able to add value to that. That's fundamentally what I'm here to do, is to help our customers have a great feeling and think, do you know what? I want to travel again and I want to tell other people to do that as well because it's a company that I can trust and it's an experience that's certain and enjoyable. So I hope I've been able to make an influence on that 5 years down the line. And with equal measure, I hope that I will have been able to improve the environment of our people within the organisation, hopefully making things easier, simpler, giving people the tools that they need to do the role and just the support of our people, just be everything that it can be. But professionally, by making this move from bus to rail, I've proved that I can be bold and courageous and disrupt myself and do different things. So who knows? You know, in the future, I've shown that I can chase dreams that are going to stretch and challenge me in new ways. And I'd like to think that I'll continue to do that for the rest of my career.
You're truly inspiring, Rachel. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You've definitely got a clear vision and a strong drive to make a meaningful impact in the lives of customers, but also the people we work with. So I have no doubt that you'll be achieving all those things that you've mentioned. As we all know, when transitioning into a new career path or embarking on your first job search, it can be quite a daunting experience. With that in mind, what essential pieces of advice would you offer to individuals interested in pursuing a career in transportation?
I would say absolutely make sure that wherever your work environment is, that you have at least one or two really good allies or mentors there to support you. And if you're in an organisation that doesn't have that structure to provide you with mentors or sponsorship, don't let that hold you back. Absolutely seek out the people that inspire you and directly go and ask them. If you see somebody on LinkedIn that really inspires you, drop them a message and ask them if they'd have the time to share some of their experiences with you. You know, be bold around getting that allyship and that mentoring, because you need it, again, to overcome that bully voice in your head that will give you doubt and tell you that you can't do something. You need to be able to overcome that voice, and having some other opinions and perspectives in your bubble that can say, do you know what, you're undervaluing yourself right now, or you're underestimating your ability right now. It can just help you have that strength to overcome the self-doubt. I would also say, I really try and make a point throughout my career to disrupt myself. For example, moving from bus to rail, I don't want a comfort zone to set in, because I know that my own development will stall if I'm in that comfort zone and if I'm just used to and familiar with everything that I'm doing. So notice when you need to disrupt and stretch yourself, and look for those opportunities to push yourself out of your comfort zone, because if you do that, it will give you that better preparation for the next role that you do, because you're building that collection of skills to ready you for even bigger roles in the future. So never sit in the pocket of that comfort zone, no matter how comfortable it feels. It's a trap. It's a trap to your future development. So be really tough with yourself.
Those are some really invaluable pieces of advice. And I really love that. It's a trap. I don't think that's a perspective that I've heard before, but I can really see why you say that. And I'm sure that people who are listening will certainly take those pieces of advice on board. As we come to the end of the podcast episode today, I just wanted to shift our focus to the future by asking you what you hope to see become more commonplace in the transport industry workforce.
I think really empowerment for me, because of the way we've structured our transport businesses, again, with the process, the procedure being so operational, I think we've made complicated systems that aren't necessarily easy for our people to navigate, just as much as we've created systems for our customers that aren't easy and simple to navigate. So I think making things easier and simpler externally for the customer and then within the organisation is key. And we've got to do it by leading with trust for our people. Our people need to be able to be empowered to know, I can make this bespoke decision in this moment that's in the best interest of our customers, and then have the confidence to know that we've got your back in terms of the leadership teams within the organisation, because we're really going to celebrate that customer-centric decision that you've made. And that can only come with the trust, having that psychological safety, and really nurturing empowerment of our people. But it has to go hand in hand with creating environments that are just easier to navigate in the first place. We make things far too complicated, and a lot of the things we create are to serve our own purposes within the organisation that maybe aren't fit for purpose now, maybe don't have the value that they may have had once before. So there's quite a lot of a radical overhaul for me that I think we need to do.
Brilliant, thank you. Finally, as we conclude the podcast episode today, in an ideal world, what do you hope the future of public transport will look like?
I want to imagine it full of beautiful, blended people of all sorts of backgrounds, because I just think that just makes for the most wonderful customer experience. That's got to be off the back of having flexibility in how people can work. And in rail, we're quite rigid. It's not as flexible as we wish it would be. And that's something we're trying to work through in terms of creating environments for our people where they can work more flexibly, because that will encourage those beautiful, diverse, blended people to come in. I want to imagine a future where partnerships are really at their most optimal between all the stakeholders that impact travel experiences and impact people connecting across our communities, whether it's the way we work with our local councils, our accessibility groups, whoever the stakeholders, whether it's with our infrastructure providers, our technology providers. Those partnerships really do need to be optimal, and I want to see it have a can-do attitude, because we can always talk ourselves out of why we can't do this, that, and the other that's progress, but actually what needs to be true for us to really be truly transformative, let's put bureaucracy to one side and actually form really meaningful partnerships to deliver a great experience for our communities.
Absolutely. That's a really lovely vision for the future of public transport. And I really believe it probably resonates with the aspirations of many people across the industry that are currently striving to establish more accessible, sustainable and inclusive networks. Sadly, our time for today's episode has come to a close. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation and for offering us a glimpse into your really extraordinary journey so far and your vision for the future of public transportation. Your expertise and passion are truly inspiring, and I'm confident that our listeners have found this discussion to be really thought-provoking. We eagerly anticipate witnessing how your work continues to shape the future of public transport in the UK and beyond. Thank you once more for sharing your insights and experiences with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we go, a quick note to our listeners. I hope that you all enjoyed today's episode. If you're keen to hear more about the people shaping the world of transportation and the innovative solutions in this field, be sure to subscribe to our podcast for future episodes. You can listen to every episode of our podcast, both past and future, on our website, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as any other platform that you usually listen on. On behalf of myself and Rachel, thank you all for your time and for listening to us today. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.